Well, for the last 5 weeks, we have been exploring together the dynamic, the spiritual dynamic of generosity. And we have defined generosity with this statement. Generosity is living life wide open. And when we began studying this series together, began studying this biblical dynamic, we began by looking at the way this word is used both in the Old and in the New Testament. This word is both a Hebrew word used in the Old Testament and a Greek word used in the New Testament. And this word has some powerful word pictures. And I want to remind you of those pictures as we begin this morning. The word generosity, as it's used in the Hebrew language, has two main ideas, two main word pictures. And here's the first one. It means to saturate with water. It's the picture of taking a towel or a piece of cloth and just dunking it down into water until it's saturated, so much so that as you lift it up out of the water, you can see it as the water just falls off of that towel. It's just been saturated with water. The second picture is that it also carries the idea of to give or to fill to overflow. And that picture is this. It's a picture of an empty glass. And that glass sitting on the table, and you take a pitcher of water, and you begin to pour that water into the empty glass until the water just begins to fill that glass right up to the brim. When it gets right to the brim, instead of stopping, you just continue to pour, and the water is just spilling over the sides of the glass, just soaking the counter there where you're pouring that water. That's the picture of generosity, to saturate with water or to fill with overflow. Now, in the New Testament, this word has a couple of other pictures. The first is the picture of someone who is ready to scatter, or they're ready to distribute, or they're ready to give. They're living their lives with a sense of readiness about them, not hoping it doesn't happen, but hoping it does happen, looking with expectancy for the opportunity to scatter. And then the fourth and final word picture is one that we've used every weekend. And it's the picture, the word generosity at its core literally means on your what? Fingertips. There you go. It's that picture of being on your fingertips. So we're going to do it one more time this morning. All right, here we go. Take your hands, put them out in front of you, and everybody do this, all right? Some of you are looking at me like I'm so sick of doing this. You're going to bump into me in heaven one day and go... But that's the picture. I'm living generously. Now, when you combine all of those pictures together, here's what you have. You have somebody who is living with a sense of readiness. With everything God has given me, my resources, my time, my talents, my gifts, my abilities, everything God has given me, I'm living with it right here on my fingertips. And I'm ready to give. I'm ready to invest. I'm ready to make a difference in somebody else's life. But when you see the opportunity, it's not just that you give a little bit, but you just pour it out until they're overflowing and saturated with the blessing of God from your life. That's the picture of generosity. It's living my life with a readiness to make a difference in somebody else's life. Well, last weekend, we began to put shoe leather, if you will, to this idea of living life wide open. We began to ask this question. What does it look like? I mean, it's one thing for all of us to all cutely hold our fingertips up and say, I'm living life like this. But what does that really mean? What does it look like to live like that? And last weekend, we made the statement that this principle of generosity applies to every area of our life. Sometimes when you hear the word generosity, people immediately begin to think about money and giving. And that's one aspect of generosity. But generosity is so much bigger than that. So much bigger. It applies to the area of forgiveness. I've been given forgiveness. Now I'm to hold forgiveness loosely and invest forgiveness in the lives of others. It implies to encouragement. I've been given encouragement through the Word of God, and I'm to live with that encouragement loosely and be ready to give encouragement, invest encouragement in the lives of others. We talked about last week in the life of Christ, as He's now come to live inside of us, this treasure in earthen vessels. Now I'm to live my life always looking for the opportunity to invest the life of Christ generously into someone else's life. And then specifically, we did talk last weekend about the area of financial giving. giving is one aspect of generosity. But please don't miss this. Giving is not all that we're talking about. That's just one slice of the pie. If you come to this series for these, it was 6 weeks, we've extended it into 7 weeks. We just had too much to say. We couldn't get it all in 6 weeks. But we're going to go one more week next weekend. But if you come to this series and all you walk away with is an understanding about giving financially, you've missed the heart of what we're talking about. Because giving is one demonstration, but what we're talking about is so much bigger than giving, because we're talking about an issue of the heart, where before the Lord I realize that I've been blessed by God, but it all belongs to Him. Time, talent, treasure, ability, gifts, and I live my life ready to make a difference in somebody else's life. Yes, through giving, but in so many other ways. And so this weekend, to really try to drive that point home, we're going to address a different issue. We're going to address generosity as it applies to the issue of serving others. Did you know that serving is a demonstration of generosity? It's a demonstration of generosity. I want you to look at a verse, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It's on the screen for you if you don't have a Bible. If you do, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and the bulk of what we're going to say this morning, we're going to pull right out of this one verse in the New Testament, 1 Peter 4:10. But as we read this verse, I want you to listen for generosity in this verse and how we've been entrusted and we're to use what God's given us in the lives of others. Listen to it, 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good, what? Stewards. He's talking about stewardship here. He's not talking about money at all. And yet he's talking about stewardship. He said, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Here's the principle. It's bigger than just money. Here the Bible is teaching us that we've been given a gift by God, and we're to use that gift in serving others, because we're to manage, we're to handle that which God has given us in a way that brings Him glory. Well, I want to share with you this morning three truths that I hope will demonstrate for you that serving is an act of generosity. And here's truth number one. Every Jesus follower is gifted. Every Jesus follower is gifted. Look at this phrase on the screen. It's out of verse 10. The Bible says, each one has received a special gift. Now, last weekend, we looked at another text of Scripture where the Bible said that each one gave. And if you were here and remember, we said that little phrase, each one, in the Greek language, literally meant every single one of them gave. Everyone gave. Well, here in this text, Peter uses the exact same Greek phrase. When the Bible says each one, it literally means every single one. He's talking here to believers. Every single believer in Jesus, every one of us has been gifted by God. Now, when I read that verse this week and was studying it, two words came to my mind. Here's the first word. It was the word reality. The word reality. Here's the reality. As a Christian, you have been gifted by God. Now, I want to illustrate that to you this morning. How many of you this morning would say, you would give this testimony, Pastor Vance, I am already a follower of Jesus. I've given my life to Christ. I've accepted Him. I'm a Christian. I'm a Jesus follower. Let me see your hand. Just hold them up for just a moment. God bless you. Great testimony. Put them down. A lot of people here this morning. I'm already a Jesus follower. Here's what Simon Peter's writing and saying. Every one of you that just raised your hand, you're one of those each one. Every one of us has been given a gift by God. And I'm not just talking about the gift of salvation. Thank God for that gift. Amen? I mean, we've been forgiven of our sins. We've been given a relationship with God by His grace. Thank God for the gift of salvation. But here's Simon Peter's writing about something in addition to that. The moment I became a Christian, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God came to live inside of me. And when He came to live inside of me, He gave me a supernatural enablement, a gift to be used. Well, what is this gift that he's talking about here? What is this gift? Well, it's really, some call it a spiritual gift. Now, this morning, I'll tell you up front, I do not have the time. We don't have the time in this service to do an exhaustive study on the topic of spiritual gifts. But for simplicity's sake, I want to try to give us a definition that will help us understand what this gift is, what he's talking about when he says every one of us has a gift. Look at this definition on the screen. It is a special ability given by God to all believers for serving others. You hear that? A special ability given by God to all believers to serve others. Now, I want you to say that out loud with me this morning. All right, we're going to read it right off the screen. You ready? One, two, three. Given to all as a Jesus follower, we have been gifted in a unique way to serve others. Now, here's what that means. You are valuable to the body of Christ. I want you to do something this morning, all right? Class participation time. I want you to turn to the person next to you, look them right in the eye, and say, "You are valuable." Go. Now, don't forget the person on the other side. Turn over there. We don't want them to get their feelings hurt. Now, look back this way. This is not a self-esteem seminar this morning. What I'm giving you is what the Bible says. Peter is writing here and he says, every one of you that are followers of Jesus Christ have been supernaturally enabled by the Holy Spirit of God and given a unique gift that makes you a valuable part of the body of Christ. You're valuable. Paul was writing about this in the book of Corinthians when he wrote that letter to the church at Corinth. Listen to it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Listen to what he writes. It's on the screen. It begins in verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, "Well, because I'm not an eye, I am not a part of the body," it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Paul here is writing and he's saying, listen, as the church, we're a body. We're the body of Christ. And as a body, we have many parts. And all of our parts are valuable when considering the health of our body. Now, as Paul goes on here in this text, he writes verse 18. Look at verse 18. This is awesome. Listen to what he says. Look at it. But now, God has what? Placed the members, each one of them, there it is again, every single one, each one of them in the body just as He what? Man, those two words are loaded with meaning. The word placed literally means to assign. It means to give an assignment to. Here's the point. Paul writes and says here, God's uniquely gifted you and you're a valuable part of the body and God has given every one of us a specific assignment. It is unique to us, our personality, the gifts that God has given us, the past that God has allowed us to experience. All of it has been shaped into this unique assignment that God has given to you. He said He's placed us. But then it said, just as He desired. Oh, don't miss this. The word desired is a word that literally means purpose. Here's the point. God has placed you and given you a unique assignment that is a part of the process of God's big picture, His purpose in the world. Listen, God is at work in the world. Amen? I mean, God's at work all over the world. And we each have been given a unique, specific assignment that is one piece, one part of God's big picture in the world. And the Bible says that in His sovereignty, God has specifically wired you and shaped you and gifted you and given you a unique assignment that is a perfect place for you in the big picture of God's purpose in the world. That's a reality. Look at it on the screen. I wrote it down in one statement, so I wanted to be sure you got it this morning. God has uniquely gifted you to carry out a specific assignment that accomplishes His purpose in the world. That's awesome. You're valuable. That's a reality. Let me illustrate it for you. And I've shared this story with you before, but man, it so captures it, I wanted to share it again. Many years ago, there were two teenage boys, young teenage boys, that walked into a church service like this, and it was crowded. Kind of like this one this morning, and they couldn't find a seat. So they decided, oh, the heck with this, I'm going to leave. We're not going to stay, we'll just leave. So they decide they're going to leave, and they're headed out the door. And an older man sees them headed out the door. And this man had been given an assignment. He had a position, a place of service in the body. You know what his place was? He was supposed to help people when they came in the door, feel at home, and find a place to sit. So he immediately jumped to his assignment and chased these two young men as they walked out the door and grabbed them and said, "Hey guys, man, we want you to be at home here. And we want you to have a place here. Will you guys stay and let me find you a seat?" And they said, "Well, if you'll find us a seat." And so like this morning, as I watched some this morning coming in, asking others to move over and make a space, this man came into this church and he asked some people to shift over. And he went back and got the two young men, said, "I got you a place." Brought them down, sat them down so that they could be a part of that service that day. Well, guess what happened at the end of that service? Those two young teenage boys both gave their lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now listen to me. You'll never know the name of that guy that helped him find a seat. But I guarantee you know the name of one of those two teenage boys. Because his name is Billy Graham. Now Billy Graham has, in my estimation, probably seen more people come to Christ through his life personally than any other person who's ever walked on the face of the earth. He's preached on more continents around the world and shared the gospel and seen untold millions of people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Is Billy Graham a valuable part of the body? I guess he is. But listen, no more valuable than the man that helped him find a seat. Because if he'd not played his part, if he'd not carried out his assignment, there'd be no Billy Graham to preach to the nations. And before the Lord Jesus one day, that man will get the same reward because he was faithful to his assignment. He had a piece to play in the big picture of what God was doing around the world. And so do you. So do you. You know what? See, 11:30, you get some extra stuff because we don't have... I got to quit in the other services. But you know what? I had this thought. I wonder if that guy even knows that he helped Billy Graham find a seat. You may get to heaven. Bob's back there. I watched Bob this morning and some others helping people find a seat. What if you get to heaven and find out you helped the next Billy Graham find a seat? You didn't even know it. I'm not talking. That's reality. Each one's been given a gift. But there was a second word that hit my mind when I thought about it. It's the word responsibility. He said, each one's received a gift. Now use it as, what did he say? Good stewards. The word steward literally means house manager. It comes from the Greek word oikos, the word household. And in the Greek culture, and in biblical times, every house typically had a house manager, someone who was responsible for the affairs of the house. All of the affairs of the house were placed into their entrustment, and they were to carry out that responsibility. Now, think about that in terms that we're talking about this morning. God has entrusted to us, we're to be a good steward. If you look up the word steward in the dictionary, I did that this week. I looked it up in about 20 dictionaries this week. Did you know that in every definition, there's one word that's used consistently, and it is the word manage. The word manage. Now don't miss this. The word manage comes from the Latin language, all right? In Latin, the word manage, guess what it means? It means to take in one's hand. All right, listen to this. God has placed into our hands gifts, abilities, talents, resources, and we're to hold them like this. They've been placed. See, as a steward, it's in our hand. But as we live with it generously, we hold it like this with a sense of readiness, looking for an opportunity to take that which has been entrusted to me and make a difference in somebody else's life. That's generosity. That's living life wide open. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? How do I take this gift that God's given me, this special ability that you're talking about? I don't even really know what it is. How do I use it? Well, let me tell you how you don't use it. You don't use it by coming to church on the weekend and sitting on it, all right? That's not the reason God gave it to you. To put on a shelf and say, man, isn't that pretty? Look at my gift. No. Look at the second truth. Every Jesus follower is gifted to serve. Did you hear what he said in 1 Peter 4:10? As each one has received a special gift, employ it. It means use it. Put it to work. How? In serving one another. Every one of us has been gifted by God to serve. The word serve that Simon Peter uses here is the most generic word for service in the Greek New Testament. It's a word that applies literally in the New Testament. It's used to describe many different types of service. And the point is this. This word is a big umbrella that embraces all kinds of service rendered to care for the needs of others. Peter says, man, you've been gifted. But you're to use that gift in meeting the needs of others. Here's the point. Every Jesus follower is a servant. When you gave your life to Christ, the Bible teaches us that by His Spirit, Jesus came to live where? Inside of us, right? By His Spirit, Christ now dwells in us. Remember what Jesus said about Himself? Jesus said, for the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to what? Serve. He's not come to be served, but to serve. Now, if He lives in us, and now as a Christian, the passion of my life is to be conformed to the image of Jesus, meaning that yes, I've given my life to Him, and now that He lives in me, I'm in a process of change where He's changing me on the inside, producing His life in me, so that what comes out of me is less of me and more of Him. As Christ begins to live His life through me, guess what happens? He didn't come to be served, but to serve. My life begins to demonstrate His passion for serving others. It's just a part of being a Jesus follower. But then I serve others in the way that He's uniquely gifted me to serve. And this really happens in two ways. First of all, we serve one another. We serve one another. That's what Simon Peter's writing about here, is this service of one another. Here's what that means. God's uniquely gifted us to serve inside of the body of Christ. Here's the point. You are needed. If you are not using your gifts in service to the Lord in this church, if this is your church home, and you're not using your gifts in serving the Lord here, listen to me. We're suffering for it. We can't be healthy if you're not using your gifts in serving. If you're just coming and sitting on your gift, we're suffering for it. Because God's given you to this body to use your gift in serving one another. I want to say it another way, and we've said it this way here before, but I just think it really catches it. Look at this quote on the screen. I want you to say it with me out loud. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Church is not a spectator sport. Many of us are TiVoing basketball games right now. Thank God for TiVo. Amen. We're going to go home and watch basketball games. But at any given moment, there's only 10 people playing. Everybody else is watching. But church is not a spectator sport. We all have a part to play. Now, the gift that God's given me, part of my gifting is in teaching and preaching God's Word. The other pastors here share that gift. And every weekend we study and we prepare and we stand before you and preach and teach God's Word. And that's a valuable part of the body. Amen? But so is the person who put these chairs out that you're sitting in. How many of you would like to stand up while I preach this morning? Yeah, I didn't see anybody volunteering for that. What's the point? The point is this. They're different gifts, but equally valuable. And that's just one example. There are hundreds of things that go on here. Let me give you an example. Last Easter, we're talking about Easter coming up. Last Easter, we had just over 2,400 people in our five services. We had over 160 people that trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for the very first time. But there were also over 400 people who served in some way in one of those five services in order to make that weekend happen. You realize that's almost one out of every six people that was here, attended one service, and served in another service. This year, we're going to have six services. That means we'll probably need over 500 people serving in some capacity. Listen, all of those parts are important. God's gifted us to serve one another. But the second thing is that God's not only gifted us to serve one another, He's gifted us to serve others. The one another is serving inside of the community of faith, but He's gifted us to serve others, to serve outside of the body of Christ, ministering to those who don't know Christ. Jesus was once asked the question, "What's the greatest commandment?" You know what He said. He said, "The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the foremost and great commandment." But then He said, the second is like it. You shall love your what? Neighbor as yourself. You know what the word neighbor means? It means any other member of the human race that happens to be in close proximity to you at any given moment. That's neighbor. Part of being a Jesus follower is loving and serving others in our circle of influence. People in our path, serving them, demonstrating care for them. So I want to ask you a question this morning. And I don't want you to answer out loud, I just want you to think about it. But in what ways this week, last 7 days, in what ways have you used your gifts and abilities to serve others in your home? In what ways have you used your gifts and abilities to serve others at your job? In what ways have you used your gifts and abilities to serve others at your school? In what ways have you used your gifts and abilities to serve others in your neighborhood, those that live around you? In what ways have you used your gifts and abilities to serve others at the grocery store or the mall? You see, as we live our lives like this, we're always looking, eyes wide open, hoping for, expecting an opportunity to make a difference in somebody else's life by serving. Oh, but don't miss the last part. Every Jesus follower is gifted to serve for the glory of God. We've been looking all morning at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. But now I want you to look at verse 11. In verse 11, Simon Peter begins to be specific about these gifts. And he basically breaks them down into two categories. All of our gifts fall into one of two categories. They're the gifts that we use our mouths to speak. Words of encouragement. Words of blessing. Words of truth. Words of rebuke at times. Or they're gifts of action, service. Listen to what he says. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. But now look at the next two words. Read them out loud off the screen. So that. Don't skip over that little part. That's important. Anytime you see those two little words in the New Testament, it ought to be a flashing light, because here's what it means. For this purpose. Here, Peter's been writing and he said, man, God's given every one of you a gift. It's an assignment that He's given you. That's a part of His big picture. And as you use that gift in serving others, we do that so that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word glorified, it means to recognize Him for who He is and what He's done. Here's the point. As I use my gifts and abilities God's given me, and I look for opportunities to serve one another and to serve others, as I serve them in the supernatural enablement of the Holy Spirit of God through my life, guess what happens? They begin to see God for who He is and what He's done. That's why the gospel writer Matthew wrote it this way. Look at it on the screen. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your what? Good works. And what? Glorify your Father in heaven, that they may see Him for who He is and what He's done. You see, as we serve, God demonstrates Himself to the people we come into contact with. I want you to turn your eyes to the screen. In just a moment, we're going to start a video. It only lasts a few seconds. But it's a testimony of a couple who lives here in Las Vegas who had a tragic event happen in their life. And our Thursday night connection group found out about it. And they came alongside this family with their hands like this and just began to serve them. And I want you to look at the difference it made in their lives. Watch this video.
I had a very confusing childhood when it came to God. I don't think I believed in Him. And I knew I had to accept them into my life. So once we moved here, we did find hope. When I accepted him into my life a year and a half ago, maybe a few times every month, I'd say, show me something. Let me know something. I want to know you're real. We were out shopping one day, all day long. We get a phone call, and our neighbor is screaming on the phone, telling us that all I could hear, the phone was breaking up, was fire, fire. So we pulled up, and our house was basically burned down. A school mom I know who also goes to Hope. I told her our story. I told her what happened. She's like, where have you been? I haven't seen you. And she took it upon herself to go to Andy and tell him about what happened.
When they found out what had happened to us, they were there and they gave us basically everything that we needed. I really can't think of one thing that we needed that they didn't provide for us. This was the biggest thing that is really help-wise in my life. I've never been helped in this kind of way in my life. This was the biggest thing I'd ever been involved with. I mean, it was the biggest blessing I'd ever been given.
The help that poured into our home, the love, was wonderful. It's changed our lives. I know God is real now. I know he's real. Long, confusing childhood. I know he's real.
Did you hear it? God had entrusted them. They saw an opportunity. And people came alongside of this family. And they simply served. Don't miss this. No sermon was preached. No song was sung. They simply served. And in serving, did you hear what she said? Now I know God is real. She began to see Him for who He is and what He's done. And that's the principle of generosity. Living my life wide open. Now this morning we're going to close our service a little bit differently, all right? Typically when we close our service, we have a time we all stand and we sing. Kind of a time for us to respond to God in singing worship. And then we have pastors and prayer volunteers that you can go to if you need prayer or need some counsel. But this morning, we're going to give an invitation to you, but it's going to be super practical. All right? The invitation really this morning is threefold. Number one, you've heard today that you've been given a gift to be used in serving one another. As you leave the building today, you'll notice a tent. Probably noticed it as you came in over here on this side of the parking lot. Underneath that tent, there's about 15 or 20 different service opportunities in our fellowship ministries that have needs, where they need others to come alongside them and serve. God's given you a gift to be used in serving others. I want to encourage you as you leave to stop by that tent and find your place. Now, if you're already somebody who's serving, I'm not talking to you today, but there's a lot of us that we come and you're sitting on the gift God's given you in our body. We're suffering for it. We need you to serve. So we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to God's Word and begin to serve. Secondly, I want to challenge you to begin to serve others. Here's one of the ways you could do that. This Saturday, in preparation for Easter, you see it on a card there in front of you, but this Saturday, we're having an event here where we're going to serve our community. We're going to do a few things. First of all, we're going to spread out at different intersections and parks, and we're going to have big cases of bottled water. And as people pass by, guess what we're going to do? We're going to give them a bottle of water. And we're going to give them an invite card that tells them about our Easter weekend services and the new series that we're kicking off. Then we're going to, some of us, and instead of doing that, we'll be going to some of the local businesses around here, some of these little strip malls, and we're going to ask permission to wash the windows of some of the businesses in this community and give them an invite card and tell them no strings attached. We just want to serve you. Some are going to be prayer walking But it's an opportunity for you to just step out of your comfort zone and begin to use your gifts in serving others. Thirdly, I want to challenge you this week to daily say, Lord, how can I use what you've given to me today to serve somebody else? Maybe at home, maybe at school, maybe at work. But God, how can I serve somebody today? And that's the beginning of living like this. You got it? All right, I want you to bow your heads this morning. And in just a moment, I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. But before I do, with your heads bowed, I want to speak to you this morning. If you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, you're not a Christian. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, maybe all this is brand new for you. Well, the Bible teaches that all of us have sinned and come short of God's glory. Because of our sin, we're separated from a relationship with God. But the glorious message of the gospel is that Jesus came and died on a cross for our sin, taking all of our sin penalty on Himself, and He paid the penalty for our sin. But He didn't stay dead. He rose again from the dead. And now we have the possibility of experiencing forgiveness through the person of Jesus Christ and being given a relationship with God.